Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
No, I'm not for sale.
Welcome back to the Stampede Blue Colts Cast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you guys for joining me here again on a Friday. Going to end the week on a note with RJ Ochoa here in just a little bit from Blogging the Boys, another SBN site, and get kind of his info on what he thinks about the Cowboys and what we should probably see this Saturday when the Colts travel to Dallas. So first, we're going to drop some news real quick. Obviously, there's a couple things floating around that we probably need to address. One of the main things, obviously, Ryan Kelly, he's going to be out for who knows how long. Haven't really seen at this point in time anything concrete on his timetable as far as being out. But it looks like it could be, I mean, an assumption would be around 6 to 8 weeks, I think, with a foot surgery. I don't have any idea about that. I'm not a doctor, but only makes sense to me for at least 6 weeks from this point. That puts him out at least another 4 or 5 weeks into the season. That's not good, obviously. The Colts have enough issues with the offensive line as it is. From last year, we don't really know what they're going to provide this year. But when you take the new foundational piece out of that mix, that's going to definitely hurt things on either side of him as well. So you have to look at the entire interior of that offensive line, and it's going to be weaker, no doubt about it. Not just up front, not just with any teams that play like a 2-gap, 3-4 scheme or anything like that. This is going to be an issue, you know. The Colts are going to have to really find a solid replacement. You know, Jeremy Zuta, we talked about that a little bit on the last show, has been rumored to have been in talks with the Colts. I think it was LaConfora who said something about both the Colts and the Ravens are apparently in negotiations with him. At least that's, what he's reporting. So we'll have to find out what happens with all of that here pretty soon. But one way or another, I think we're definitely going to see some sort of a signing. I don't think that the Colts can handle, Adam Redman and Deshaun Bond as their starting center for the regular season. It just, it compounds everything when we don't really know how long Andrew Luck's going to be out. If he's only going to be out, a week, then as far as the quarterback position, that's not that big a deal. But you have to understand that these are all pieces that are going to work off of each other. And if the interior is weaker, then that means that guys are going to be doing, some blitzes up front that are going to send a lot of guys up front. They're going to attack the weaknesses of this offensive line. And they're probably going to attack both sides as well because they feel that there are some holes. And I don't think that would be too far of a stretch. I think that the Colts definitely have things going in the right direction, albeit we also know that the Colts aren't, one of the top offensive lines in the league at this point. So that's, that's troubling for sure. Hopefully he can come back and come back soon. We definitely need that extra lineman up front. He was great last year. Apparently didn't give up a sack per Pro Football Focus. I would say that he gave up a handful of pressures, obviously, as well. But, he's definitely the best young lineman the Colts currently have on their roster. So the Colts definitely need him to come back quickly, come back as good or better than he was. And hopefully that will all kind of shake itself out. Now, aside from injury news, we've had some guys come back. Rashawn Melvin finally came back today, which is actually Thursday recording to the team. Malik Hooker's still out. Some other guys, this team's kind of banged up right now. We've seen Marlon Mack come back. Some of the guys who set out last Sunday's game, majority of them are back. Although Bostic has a club on his arm, that's not going to be great for, any pass defenses or anything like that to be able to knock the ball down. So, we've still got the makings of a good linebacking core and a good defense. We just got to keep everybody healthy right now, which is apparently looking to be somewhat of an issue for right now. So Also looking at this defense, you know, we heard the other day that TJ Green's going to be either making a temporary move to corner, or it could end up being long term. We don't know. With Melvin out, I think that was probably the thinking outside of, you know, get your best athletes on the field. And, you know, TJ Green's a hitter. He's a physical guy, likes to be physical. You know, for the longest time, we talked about it this offseason. Does TJ Green fit better at corner than safety for this coming year? And I said no initially because he does. I mean, as a position, no, he doesn't. I mean, if you can't cover and you can't be a corner in college, they move you to safety for that reason, then what makes you think that you can be a cover guy in the pros, you know, especially at corner? But there were some good points made in our Stampede Blue Slack channel the other day about the boundary corner and what their responsibilities are. And I thought that they were very well spoken because that is very accurate, you know, that they are basically a one-on-one guy using the boundary as a second person almost in coverage. And they're relied upon to be physical in the run game. I think that that could probably work out. You know, I think that when you've got a guy with his kind of talent as far as natural ability and athleticism, then you've got to use that guy in whatever way you can. I mean, there's people asking as of the end of last season if maybe TJ Green would end up turning into kind of that dime safety, you know, and kind of have him in there as that dime linebacker, I mean. And so, you know, all those reasons are adequate and real that would be what the Colts should do, is to try to keep the best hitters, the most athletic personnel, the best talent on the field at all times. And if you can get a guy like TJ Green to actually turn something around and do it at corner, that just helps, because the safety crew, while it's not a terribly awesome safety group right now, they're deeper than corner, in my opinion. I mean, because after you go Vontae, you got Quincy Wilson and Rashawn Melvin, and you've got some other guys that can fill in there. And I mean, Nate Harrison looked pretty decent the other day as well. And I would say that you may have another guy or two that can legitimately, outside of Daryl Morris, I'm talking about outside corners, that can probably play the position. If you can get a guy like TJ Green to step in and actually be some solid depth, or even a rotational guy out there, maybe he could even be, you know, a nickel guy. We just don't know right now. But I think that the thought process behind it is intelligent. I think it's a great move. And so we'll have to see what happens. They obviously know that they can always play him at safety. He's in his second year, so he's definitely a little more familiar with the playbook, what's going on, responsibilities, you know, all those things. And that can't do anything really but help this Colts defense, in my opinion. I think that's a good decision, and I'm glad that they ended up doing it. One of the other things that, you know, still is kind of on my mind right now is with the Eric Swoop injury, how that's going to happen. It doesn't look like he's going to be back, you know, for the next few weeks. And it just kind of makes you wonder how this tight end group is going to, you know, fill out. Will the Colts, you know, use the pup designation on some other guys, including, you know, Swoop or Swope or whatever, to try to get as many people on this roster as possible that can be effective and can help? And you just really wonder what's going to go on with this guys. I mean, we need him back. We need Schwenke back bad, because his interior offensive line capabilities are nice when you have the versatility to go from guard to center and otherwise. I mean, they really need some of these guys who are injured and have been out for a while. They really need them back, and they really need them back, you know, ASAP. I mean, we're only heading into preseason week two, but, you know, these guys need to work at their position before, you know. Even a guy like Malik Hooker, he looked good the other day, was physical, but he's dinged up again. This is something that needs to, you know, work itself out. This guy has to stay healthy, because ultimately you can be the best talent in the world, but if you can't get on the field, it doesn't matter. And, you know, we don't even know what Brian Schwenke offers, but we do know that he offers some sort of semblance of depth right now along that offensive line, and they desperately need it. So Colts need to get healthy. They need Andrew Luck back. We can't afford to have Scott Tolzien running the quarterback position for any length of time, as far as I'm concerned. And it's not apparent to me anyways that the Colts are interested in a real competition at the position without Andrew Luck there. I think that Stephen Morris deserves to get first team reps on Saturday. I hope that he does, because I think that he's earned it. I mean, you look at his last year's preseason numbers versus Tolzien's, and they're just not even close. It's not even comparable. They're not close. They have been during different times of the game, but accuracy doesn't have anything to do with who's in the game on the other time, on the other side of the field. It just doesn't. You're either on target or you're not. And if you're on target, you're a better quarterback for the most part. You can get the guys the ball. Not only that, but he goes downfield better. The Colts have been more successful against those guys. And look, if he's with a bunch of scrubs on the offense and he's going against a bunch of scrubs, then everything's equal, right? And I mean, don't get me wrong, Scott Tolzien hasn't been playing against first team guys and hasn't gotten first team snaps the whole time. That'd be a joke if you think that. It's just not true. So, I mean, going forward, I want to see a lot of things happen. I'm anxious to see kind of how things turn out Saturday. And obviously we'll be back with a post-game pod here as well to take care of that. But I thank you guys for listening to the Colts Cast today. We're going to come up with RJ Ochoa here in just a minute. Make sure that you guys are subscribing, rating, and reviewing on iTunes, all that good stuff. We did get some significant amount more reviews. Remember, if we get those up to 50, I'm going to give away an Andrew Luck jersey. So you take the time, a few minutes here, go to iTunes, give us a rating and review, and then all those 50 people, those first 50 people, will be eligible for the Andrew Luck jersey giveaway. So thank you guys all for listening, and we'll catch up with RJ Ochoa right now. And we're here with RJ Ochoa from Blogging the Boys. RJ, what's going on, man?
Not a lot, man. I'm excited. It's football season, and it's almost football season. You know, I really look forward to the Little League World Series every year because it's the last hurdle. You know, it's the last non-NFL hurdle we have to get over in the sports world. So I enjoy it. Yeah, exactly.
Well, this Saturday we've got an interesting matchup. You've got a team in the Cowboys here that, you know, has some real expectations this season. And our Colts are going to be coming to Dallas, to Jerry's World, with a little bit less fewer expectations, I should say. We've been nicked up. We've got a lot of injuries, a lot of key ones. We basically have, you know, a circus at quarterback right now, and there's a lot of stuff going on. What is there any major storylines aside from the Zeke news that Colts fans need to know about the Cowboys heading into Saturday?
Well, so the Zeke drama certainly going to, you know, drown out a lot of things, but yeah, you know, the Cowboys have their own competition, I guess, if you want to call it that, or sort of what fans wish was a competition going on at the backup quarterback position. Right now, Kellen Moore is the man who's being given the nod by the coaching staff, and you'll remember Kellen Moore from the 2015 tail end of the season was not impressive by any degree of manifestation, and not impressive this particular preseason period. But Cooper Rush, an undrafted free agent from Central Michigan, kind of looks like Jason Garrett a little bit. He's been impressive in the first two preseason games, and people are excited about him and want him to get the backup duties for Dak Prescott, but that doesn't seem to be the case. So I'll say that that's sort of one thing that people are chomping at the bit over. The other, sort of the hero of the preseason, is Rico Gathers, who just a few years ago was playing college basketball. He's got a concussion now. But Rico Gathers has been the story of the preseason for the Cowboys and his assemblance within the tight end position and turning into hopefully a legitimate red zone weapon.
Now, you guys have a significantly new secondary, I guess, as a unit. I mean, getting Chidobe Awuzie or Awuzie and, you know, Jordan Lewis out of Michigan. A lot of the secondary is new. What are the strong points and what are the weaknesses of this group?
Well, so you're right. I'd say the weakness is probably its lack of experience. I mean, because Chidobe and Jordan are going to be counted on from the get-go. You know, the veteran of the group is Orlando Scantrick, who's been around. He was drafted in 2008 out of Boise State. And sort of the biggest man on the block right now is second-year corner Anthony Brown, who really arrived. If it hadn't been for Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott, Anthony Brown would have been a far bigger deal. But simply because of the rookie class, you know, he kind of came in third place, but he's looking to be like this team's future star cornerback. So you've got those two sort of veterans at corner, and then you bring in Chidobe and Jordan, and then in the second safety position, you're working with Jeff Heath. And for Colts fans unaware, Jeff Heath is sort of a joke for Cowboys fans. They treat him like he's the greatest player of all time. It's just sort of a running gag. But I mean, truthfully, he's just slightly above average, I would say. But Byron Jones, the athletic freak who turned the world's heads there in your home at Lucas Oil during his days at the NFL Combine, he is emerging as this team's secondary leader in his third season. So I'll say there's a lot of talent in the secondary, which not a lot of people really felt was there over seasons past. It's just so raw. I mean, it's a litter of puppies to a large degree that are adorable, but puppies nonetheless.
Right. Your front seven's got some exciting news with the thought that Jalen Smith's going to be playing this weekend as well. What else about this group, aside from, you know, rookie Taco Charlton and stuff, what is there to look forward to for Cowboys fans, but what is there for Colts fans to really try to keep our eyes on with this group as well?
Well, I'll say that while Jalen Smith is sort of commanding the attention within the storylines leading up to this, I'd say it's his linebacker counterpart, Sean Lee, that's a big deal. I think it was the last time the Cowboys visited Indianapolis in 2010 that I believe he returned an interception for a touchdown, or maybe not returned it for a touchdown, but definitely I think had an interception. Mm-hmm. And Sean Lee has come a long way in terms of ending the injury prone narrative that has circled him. And so I think looking at this, so many people are so hopeful to see these two together. To see Sean Lee, who's starting to finally get recognized on a national level as one of the better linebackers in the game, and this incredible prospect in Jalen Smith overcoming a medical hurdle unlike we've really ever seen, to see how they work together, I think is a fascinating thing, because that makes the middle of that defense very tough for whatever Colts quarterback is trying to get across it.
Yeah, Sean Lee's a special dude, man. I always felt bad when he was injured because I really enjoyed watching him play. Not to mention, I mean, you get a linebacker like that, a guy out of linebacker U in Penn State, and then you get, like, one of the best talents in the draft to be aside him in Smith. And, you know, you really have something that's going to be pretty interesting to watch there with that group. I've tried to wrap my head around how he's coming back, how he's going to come back. And, you know, if he's going to actually be able to make a legitimate role towards, you know, his ceiling that was perceived from him coming out of Notre Dame. What are you guys hearing as far as the medical part of him and like the nerve regeneration and all that stuff?
I mean, from what Jerry Jones has said, and he's been the most vocal person on this, is that there is regeneration. But again, I mean, it's such a unique thing that, you know, there's, you know, I used the word hurdle earlier. There aren't really boxes to check off. You know, I mean, this would be different if you or I suffered this injury, simply because nerves are unpredictable. Mm-hmm. and unique to each human body. And so, I mean, there's regeneration, and Jalen is still wearing a brace on his ankle. There's been such talk and, you know, sort of micro analyzing what type of brace, where it is, this and that or whatever. But I mean, he's cutting, he's running, he's moving laterally, he's sprinting. I mean, he's had pretty much a full go at training camp, and he's put pads on consecutively, which is, as silly as it sounds for an NFL player, quite an achievement. I mean, you're talking about the last time this dude wore pads at a competitive level was in January of 2016. Beyond all of the medical hurdles there are, I mean, there's the fact that while this young man is extremely talented, it's been a great length of time since he played football at a competitive level. I mean, him going against the Colts this weekend is sort of his first action against unpredictable football opponents since that Fiesta Bowl. So, I mean, it's fair to understand if he's a bit rusty. I mean, because it's been a long time since he was in the heart of that action.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you guys have going on now at running back, though, now that Zeke is going to be gone? Is he going to be playing in the preseason games, you think?
You know, I think that he has to. I mean, you know, Dez Bryant said this week during practice that they were sort of preparing as if Zeke is going to be there week one, which would be either the suspension being wiped out altogether or tied up in some sort of litigation, which I think is where everybody thinks this thing is headed, a la Tom Brady, which does lend itself to believe that Zeke might be there week 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and so on. But under the assumption that Zeke isn't there, I mean, this team is somewhat prepared to rely on Darren McFadden and Alfred Morris as sort of a 1-2 punch. But a guy who's been impressive through training camp in the first two preseason games has been Jalen Smith's older brother, Rod Smith. He has pretty much entrenched himself as RB3, which makes the dichotomy between Darren McFadden and Alfred Morris so interesting, because if Zeke is RB1, then only one of them can be RB2. And it's my belief that Darren McFadden serves as a better complement to Zeke, but if I'm deciding between McFadden and Alfred Morris who I want to give a large volume of carries to, it would then be Alfred Morris. Like, Alfred Morris is more suited to be an RB1, but Darren McFadden makes a better complementary player, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I think that Zeke is probably going to get some action. Dak Prescott will play. And even from just a PR standpoint, I think if the Cowboys trotted all of their starters out there, sans Ezekiel Elliott, it would look like, oh, man, they are preparing for him to not be there. And so I think from just a public perception standpoint, you almost kind of have to do it if you want to keep up with the Joneses, no pun intended, that he's going to be there. Right. And so I think he'll get some action. I think it'll be limited. And then I think it'll be the Darren McFadden show.
Okay, so then when we get to the point, the people who are blocking for him, this offensive line's had a little bit of a change. I mean, they've got, you know, a lot of note and notoriety for being one of the best lines, if not the best offensive line in the league. What do we expect to see maybe this week, but more importantly, just as interesting to me anyways, what do you guys expect to trot onto the field on week one as far as your offensive line?
Well, I'd say the most interesting piece to watch, and this would probably hold true for both Saturday and week one, is Lyle Collins, who has kicked out from left guard to right tackle. I mean, he's flipping sides, he's kicking outside, and that's a lot of change for a young player to take on in the National Football League. So he's played well, but I mean, I think it's fair to anticipate some bumps in the road along that path.
Wasn't he a tackle in college though?
He was a tackle in college. But again, I mean, you know, this is a different game, obviously. And,
sure.
And he's played left guard his first two seasons, and he was injured a majority of last season. He suffered an injury in week three. That was when Ron Leary came in and everything kind of fell back to 2014 form along that line. But Lyle Collins, while it's a big change, to your point, I think it's one that you feel comfortable with. And it's one that is not it's one that's cemented in stone. Lyle Collins recently had his contract extended after his, you know, infamous tragic draft day fall in 2015. So he is firmly entrenched as this team's right tackle. There's no clue as to who this team's left guard is, and that's a really big question mark, like you said, for the best offensive line in football. There's Byron Bell, there's Chaz Green, there's Jonathan Cooper, the former first-round pick. For what it's worth, I think Chaz Green maybe wins this job ultimately. He just has shown a proclivity to get hurt ever since being drafted, also in 2015, out of Florida. He hasn't been able to stay on the field. But Chaz Green at left guard gives the Cowboys their five most talented offensive linemen on the field simultaneously, which ultimately is the goal.
Isn't Cooper the one that's gone from either from the Patriots or to the Patriots from the Cardinals? And then, is that right? Same guy?
Yeah, I think he was part of the Chandler Jones trade, I believe.
Yes. And then
he got released by the Pats and played with the Browns at the beginning of 2016. Cowboys picked him up right before the playoff game against the Packers and then signed him to a one-year deal this offseason. So it would be cool, you know, just from a coolness perspective, if he's there, because he is a former first-round pick. And right. Lyle Collins, in all theory, was a first-round pick. So then it would give you five first-rounders along your offensive line, which would, again, just be a cool thing to say.
Yeah, and would be kind of like, you know, hey, here's the template, everybody in the NFL.
Yeah.
Use your first-round pick on linemen.
Yeah, how hard is it, guys? Just use five first-round picks on offensive line. It's really easy.
And look where it's gotten them, though, over the past couple of years, though. I mean, it's really helped shape that offense.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why, you know, whether Zeke is or isn't suspended, I mean, I guess, obviously, more particularly if he is suspended, people wonder, oh, well, what more responsibility falls on Dak Prescott? And I think the answer is a minimal degree more falls on him, because this team's identity is running the football because of the, you know, investments they've made and the ability they have to do that. So whether it's Zeke or Darren McFadden or Alfred Morris or Rod Smith, they're going to run that football. Zeke just obviously allows them to do it to a greater degree.
Now, I can hear Colts fans, if we were in this type of situation, as far as, you know, we've got the offensive line, any of our running backs can run behind this line. Do you think that is true, or do you think that there's, you know, definitely, I mean, obviously each running back has their own little forte, their own specific skill set, what they're good at, their visions are different. Is that something, though, that you believe with this offensive line, that virtually any of the backs on the roster could run behind him, or is maybe one of them going to have a little more difficulty than others?
I think it's true to a degree, obviously. I mean, I think it's easier for the average running back to have success behind the Cowboys offensive line. But the Cowboys employ a zone blocking scheme that has proven difficult for running backs like Alfred Morris to have success behind. So in 2015, when he finished the league fourth in rushing yards, they had to shift more to a power run philosophy to accommodate the skill set of Darren McFadden. Whereas Zeke is custom tailored for his own blocking scheme. That's why he's so good behind this offensive line. It's a match made in heaven. And that's why I've been vocal that Alfred Morris should, you know, get more carries behind this line, because he has more success in his own blocking scheme. I don't want to say it's water and oil when it's Darren McFadden in this offensive line, but Darren McFadden behind them is not, you know, using the gas that belongs in that car, so to speak.
Right. That makes sense. Let's get to back to the safeties now. You said, just for a minute, because you spoke about Byron Jones, but one of your safeties is one of the guys that I really enjoyed watching on tape this off season, you know, preparing for the draft and stuff like that. Xavier Woods is a guy who really drew a lot of interest from me, and I think he started to draw some interest late. What have you guys seen from him, and do you like what he brings to the secondary?
He is so incredible, and you're right. He was sort of a draft aficionado's dream. I think Jonah Tolles, one of our mutual friends, I remember him. He was totally comfortable with the Cowboys drafting him with the 92nd overall pick, and so to get him 100 picks later was just incredible. Xavier was a little quiet early on in training camp. I mean, the team kind of had him hidden to a degree. Focusing more on players like Byron Jones and the aforementioned greatest player of all time in Jeff Heath. And they have a second-year project in Kayvon Frazier that they're interested in as well. But Xavier is making a name for himself. And to your point, I mean, he's such a hard hitter. I mean, you know, that was so evident in his time at Louisiana Tech. And, you know, the play ended up being overturned because it wasn't ruled a catch in the moment. But he forced a fumble in the Los Angeles preseason game and what was week one of the preseason that was just incredible. I mean, he is such a ferocious hitter, and to have landed him in the sixth round again, I mean, if I'm sure the Cowboys just laughed hysterically that they got him so late, because he is such a fun young safety to watch. I think at some point, you know, soon, probably not throughout his rookie year, he is a starter on this team.
Yeah, I really enjoyed him, and I was kind of hoping I knew once the Colts took Malik Hooker, it was probably, you know, very unlikely that they would go double dipping on safeties. But I thought,
well,
if they get
a settlement, you know, yeah. So, I guess you just all you get is Malik Hooker out of this, you know. I guess, so you know, whatever, it all balances out, I suppose.
He just happened to be one of those guys that I really, really liked, you know, that I kind of had him as around a third or fourth round peg, you know. But I mean, I was surprised to see him go that late and thought that guy is going to way outplay his draft value for sure. Let's talk about the tight ends real quick. You know, behind Jason Witten, there's a bunch of guys that I don't think a lot of people know. Aside, you know, you mentioned Rico Gathers, and unless he hadn't been popped up as being, you know, the former hoopster out of Baylor, I don't think a lot of people would have any idea who anybody at the tight end position behind Jason Witten is. Go into this group and kind of talk to us about who you expect to make the roster, who we should see the most out of.
Well, it's so interesting. I mean, as you know, the way rosters are constructed, because, you know, a monkey wrench, like three quarterbacks can really, really tear things apart sometimes. And so the Cowboys are probably going to carry four tight ends. And so, you know, however they allot for room elsewhere, we'll see. But the four are obviously Jason Witten. And then behind him, sort of the two savvy veterans are James Hanna, who the Cowboys landed in 2011, I believe, out of Oklahoma, and Jeff Swaim, who was a seventh-round draft pick in 2015 from the University of Texas. Now, neither one of them is anything that really sort of, you know, makes you excited, but they're both excellent blockers, which is valuable on this team. They both were lost to season-ending surgeries and injuries last season. James Hanna before the season ever began. Jeff Swaim was injured during the Cowboys' win in Pittsburgh. But they're valuable simply because they are great run blockers, and that's an element to Rico Gathers' game that isn't there yet. He's a sexy option in the pass game, and he's a lot of fun there, but that doesn't mean that he's a functional tight end on this team quite yet, because he doesn't do the one thing that most tight ends on the Cowboys have to do exceedingly well. And so,
he's by far the biggest of them all.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's gigantic. Rico Gathers makes Tyron Smith look small, which is an incredible thing. Jeff Swaim and James Hanna are a part of this team because they present that value. It seems like Rico Gathers is the next great thing, but if he doesn't, master the art that, earns jobs on this team in terms of tight ends, it's going to be difficult for him to find snaps. And so I think Rico Gathers, if he ends up playing because of this concussion, I think he'll catch another touchdown and people will lose their minds. I'll tweet a lot of funny things. But the Cowboys are being careful because they're being careful with Jeff Swaim and James Hanna both. And Jason Witten gets veteran day. So the depth, I recently wrote about this, is being tested early on in a position group that seemingly has a lot of depth.
Yeah. And then look at your wide receiver group now. I mean, you've got Cole Beasley. You've got the rookie Ryan Switzer. You've got another rookie, Lance Lenoir, and I'm not sure that a lot of people know him out of Western Illinois. Tell me about him.
Lance Lenoir, when the Lucky Whitehead drama unfolded, one of the greatest stories that's ever happened. That was quite the week. Lance Lenoir was thought to have a really great shot at making this team because Lucky Whitehead had all fallen apart, and both Ryan Switzer, who you mentioned, and Jordan Lewis were suffering from hamstring injuries, and that's important because they're sort of, picked as this team's primary return men, especially now that Lucky Whitehead is officially gone. So Lance Lenoir had a lot of opportunities, both in practice and in the preseason so far, to really hopefully carve out a place on this team, which is difficult because they're already going to carry at the very least five wide receivers. And as we said, if you're carrying four tight ends, you got to go slim somewhere else. But Lance Lenoir muffed a punt, the very first punt he handled in Los Angeles during week one of the preseason. So while Lance Lenoir has shown some excitement, I think right now the general taste in people's mouths is, oh, that's the dude who muffed the punt.
That's not good for him. So tell me, the Colts are looking for a few positions right now. We are pretty confident in the fact that when all the 53, the rosters get broken down and everybody gets cut and there's 47 guys on the street from each team in the NFL, that the Colts are going to be shopping that waiver wire, like crazy. Who is the best player on the current roster right now on the offense, and give me the best on defense that will not make this roster?
Wow, that's a great question, I think, for all teams.
That's why I'm asking everybody.
Yeah, and it's great because it's so different for each team based on depth and different things. I mean, I suppose on offense, a lot of people would say Cooper Rush, just because, a lot of people are really drinking that Kool-Aid and thinking that, he's better than Kellen Moore and he could be a great backup quarterback. People have likened him to Tony Romo's beginnings, to give you an indication at how far this has gone.
Mm-hmm. I liked him out of school, too.
Yeah, so, if you're in the backup quarterback market, I think there's one. I think another interesting guy on offense is Dan Skipper, the 6'10" offensive tackle on the Cowboys out of Arkansas. Again, if Rico Gathers makes Tyron Smith look tiny, Dan Skipper makes Rico Gathers look like a baby. He's 6'10". He's able to block field goals. He blocks field goals at Arkansas. He's a mountain of a man. And so I don't know that he makes this team ultimately. So I think he's an interesting guy to consider, especially a team like the Colts that perhaps could use that help along the offensive line. On defense, there's a great pass rusher who the Cowboys have in Lenny Jones that I don't know is going to make this team, but he made a lot of plays in the Los Angeles preseason game. And he looked like a guy who you could really fall in love with, and one of those dudes who people are saying, we can't release him. We can't put him on the practice squad because he's going to get poached and this and that. So I think Lenny Jones is sort of what David Irving was to the Cowboys when they poached him off the Chiefs practice squad.
Interesting. Okay, now on the opposite end of that, give me maybe a couple guys that are under the radar that you think will make this roster.
I think that the Cowboys have a receiver in Bryce Butler who a lot of people had written off before this season had really started getting going at training camp. But Bryce Butler has, I think firmly entrenched himself on the 53-man roster. It sounds kind of weird to say that he's underrated, and it's not like he's a rookie or anything, but not a lot of people on a national level know about Bryce Butler, and athletically, he's more gifted than Dez Bryant. I mean, in terms of what is God-given, Bryce Butler has more to work with than Dez Bryant. And when I was out in Oxnard, he was far and away the hardest working man of the 90 that I saw. And I think that Bryce Butler is a dude who is going to really impress. He signed a one-year contract back with the Cowboys. And if you read his Twitter bio, it says that he's basically on another rookie deal. So I think that he's out to prove a point. He's out to have a great season. And I think he's poised to do so. So I think Bryce Butler is one of those guys. On defense, I'll say Jeff Heath. I mean, simply because Jeff Heath's going to get a lot of opportunity as a starter on this team. Obviously, you know, a starter's not really under the radar guy. But Jeff Heath just has an amazing ability, and there are guys like this on every team, to make plays and to put himself around the ball. I mean, he had a sack of Aaron Rodgers in the playoff game. I don't know if you remember. Amazingly, Aaron doesn't lose the ball. I mean, Jeff Heath destroys him. He had what would have been an interception that was ruled a not interception. I mean, he just has an ability to help. It's how he made this team in 2013, and I think that, you know, given the stage the Cowboys play on, Jeff Heath will become a little bit more well-known by people outside of the Cowboys.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, RJ, I tell you what, man, there's a lot of Colts fans right now hoping that we can put some semblance of a complete game together. And, you know, when we're going up against, you know, a lot of the depth, a lot of the depth that's been built in Dallas is built for situations like the Colts are actually in. You guys have several offensive linemen that can all play. Somebody can be plugged in. You may not get the same, you know, response or the same production out of them, but they can play and fill in. Plus, you've got the talent around them. And there's a couple positions on the Cowboys that are like that. There is always somebody that pops up and just blows people away every camp that people don't know who they are or anything like that. Give me a guy on the team before we cut out of here. Who's a guy that, you know, that nobody knows that you think's just going to blow up this year?
You know, across the season, I'd say, I mean, you're looking at a team that's got a lot of superstars already, which, you know, and it's a good thing. And a lot of that is because of the fact that they play for the Dallas Cowboys. But, you know, we talked about Jalen Smith and we talked about Sean Lee. Anthony Hitchens is in place to be this team's starting Sam linebacker. And a lot of people remember him probably most specifically for the Detroit playoff win in the 2014 wildcard round. The flag that was picked up was on Anthony Hitchens. That was his rookie season. And he's entering a contract year, and he's better than Jalen Smith right now. And again, I realize that's not really an outlandish statement. But Anthony Hitchens, you know, the Cowboys have one of the more underrated coaches in the NFL working with their linebackers, Matt Eberflus. And he has done quite a number with Anthony Hitchens, who's come a long way during his days as a Cowboy out of Minnesota. I think Anthony Hitchens, you know, has a great year. He's just a guy who I think is going to benefit from, you know, teams and quarterbacks trying to stay away from Sean Lee. Maybe he has, like, you know, four interceptions, something kind of crazy like that this season, and he gets a nice payday as a free agent next offseason.
Nice. So with Zeke's news, is there realistic expectations for Super Bowl or bust from the Cowboys?
Well, given if you believe what I believe, which is I believe that at some point Zeke will serve a suspension. I absolutely believe that, just given the way the NFL works. But I also believe, given sort of, I don't want to say a precedent, but given the rubric that Tom Brady has kind of laid out for how to handle situations to this degree, I think that that suspension will be served in 2018. And so I believe that Zeke will play this entire season. And so I'll answer it if he does and if he misses the first six games. If Zeke plays the whole season, I think this team wins 11 games. I mean, 13-3 is so hard to replicate, you know, no matter who you are, unless you're the Patriots. And so I think they win 11 games, and I think you call that a victory, and that probably gives you a division championship. And, you know, hopefully you're able to, you know, stop somebody on 3rd-and-20, and maybe you get to the NFC championship game. Who knows? But so 11 wins feel safe with Zeke all the way. If Zeke misses the first six games, I think that maybe it's fair to assume that that knocks you down a game, maybe a game and a half. So I think this team, you know, worst case scenario is living somewhere between 9 and 11 wins.
Are the Eagles legitimately the best competition in the division right now for them?
You know, I mean, it is a lot of fun to pick on the Eagles. I mean, I really can't express how much fun I really have and how, you know, outlandish I can get with it. But in all reality, in total objectivity, I think you have to say the New York Giants are the biggest threat to the Cowboys. And, you know, they'll go as far as Eli Manning goes, which doesn't feel like a lot most days. But I mean, you look at their offense and it's hard to imagine them not being successful. I mean, I know Brandon Marshall brings with him a lot of internal drama, but their defense, I don't know, is necessarily as good just for the same reason. It's hard to, you know, replicate success like that. But I think the Giants are a team. I mean, and they know how to beat the Cowboys. I mean, you're talking about the Cowboys were such a good team. They were 13-3. Well, 66% of their losses were to one team. And so I think Carson Wentz is great. I just don't know that, you know, year two for him and year one with Alshon Jeffrey and Torrey Smith. I don't know that those are weapons that I particularly fear. While I do fear Jim Schwartz and that defense, I think the Eagles need a bit more time, but I do believe they'll get there. And on the other end of things, I feel so sorry for Kirk Cousins. I feel bad for him, but then I remember that the dudes made like $7 billion off those idiots, and so I feel okay.
Right. So what can the Colts then expect? I mean, if we're looking at, you know, what we should expect our defense to do, because I think we're expecting Jonathan Hankins to come back. We're expecting some of the guys on defense who were out last week to be back. What should us as fans look for in the Cowboys offense? Where do you think they're going to be attacking the Colts?
I mean, I think that, you know, this is Dak Prescott's first preseason action, and Dak has been vocal about wanting to be better throwing deep this season. And for what it's worth, by all metrics, and it seems like there's so many metrics nowadays, but Dak Prescott was a fine quarterback down the field in 2016, but he wants to be better. So, I mean, I think that Dak and Co and Scott Linehan, they might want to test that. They might want to flex that muscle that they feel that they may have. And so I think Dak Prescott may try to find a Terrence Williams, who's such a great streaking wide receiver. Bryce Butler caught a great deep pass, albeit from Kellen Moore, in the Pro Football Hall of Fame game. I mean, the Cowboys have guys that can run. And I don't know that Ryan Switzer's playing in this game. He's still dealing with a hammy. So I think they use their big guns downfield and let Dak Prescott sort of, you know, work that arm. And so if I'm the Colts, I definitely want to be able to stop that, because from a narrative standpoint, a lot of people don't believe Dak Prescott can throw downfield. So if you guys can stop that, I'd feel good about it.
Yeah, but they do like, I mean, they do like to move him around. I mean, you know, with their offensive set. So, I mean, does speedy linebackers tend to get him unraveled a little bit or what? Because, you know, he's pretty cool last year. I mean, it wasn't a lot that got to him. What were some of the weaknesses of Dak that you noticed?
You know, Dak is so smart, and that ultimately covers up whatever deficiencies his game may have. And so I think the way to frazzle him, you're right, is obviously a speedy linebacker that can get to him and force him to make a quick decision. And I think attacking that left guard position, because it is the most unstable one, is potentially the way to do that and flush him out. You know, there is no metric, you know, in all truth, by which Dak is not a good quarterback. I mean, it's amazing that he grades well in most ways. But I think the best way to sort of frazzle him is to put him on the run, just because that's where most people frazzle. And I think if you're able to do that, maybe flush him out to his weak side, to his left side, I think that's where, you know, you'll have the most success in deterring his success.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was thinking. Don't push him out to a strong point. That's not going to work for us probably very well. Well, I think that the Colts fans are hoping to see something a little better than what we saw this past Sunday. I think they're a little bit, you know, reserved, knowing that we are going to Dallas. There are going to be some first-team reps for the Cowboys on both sides of the ball. So I think the Colts fans are really interested to see if we can have some sort of a decent showing and try to put this bad boy together the right way and get some guys back. So it should be an interesting preseason game. I'm always in it. I know you're always in it, even for the depth guys. You'll watch it all the way through, just like I will. And I think a lot of Colts fans this year will, because there is a lot of new depth to the team and makes it interesting. So RJ, thanks for jumping on the show tonight. I appreciate the info. I know the listeners appreciate the info. Give us a little extra something to pay attention to during the game when some of the starters are out and stuff like that. But thank you for jumping on tonight, man. Really appreciate it.
Anytime. I really enjoy it, and I'm rooting hard for the Colts this season. You know, I think that the game is better, and I enjoy it more when these young promising quarterbacks have success. I'd love to see a Dak Luck Super Bowl. I think that that would be great for the NFL. So I hope I hope we get there, and I hope you lose 100-0. But I mean, I hope it happens.
Right. I agree. And before we jump off of here, I got to say that too. I was not high on Dak at all coming out of college. I was not impressed with him in any way, shape, or form. I didn't watch him all that close, but I watched enough of him to gain an opinion. And then I was like, no, he's not going to do it. And then, you know, as he started playing, I was like, you know what? It's time. I mean, and I don't even know that it was even in the regular season yet. But the reality was is that he proved enough early, like right away, that he was quite a good quarterback right now. And he was going to be good. And a lot of people took a long time that they, you know, didn't really want to admit that. I was one. I ate crow and I didn't mind it because I agree with you. The more... there are better quarterbacks for each team as throughout the league. The better the league is, the more fun it is, and the more fun football in general is. You really have to enjoy the quarterback position because that really is the engine for the train. I mean, you have to enjoy that, or you're just watching, you know, the CFL and, you know, a lot of option football. You know, it's just not fun.
So, right.
I mean,
no, I agree. Let's do this. I'll draft Andrew Luck as my fantasy quarterback, and you draft Dak Prescott. So we have this vested interest all around, and we have this amicable way that things function.
I can do that, and I would do that too. By the way, so I draft Luck every year, but you know what? I would take Dak for mine if he was gone. There's no doubt about that. So once again, RJ, thanks for jumping on, man. A lot of fun tonight.
Anytime, man. Have a good one.
Make sure you guys are getting over to Apple Podcasts, rating, reviewing, subscribing, all that. Remember what I told you about getting the reviews up to 50 on Apple Podcasts. We'll be giving away an Andrew Luck jersey. If you guys get that, the top 50 or the first 50 will all be eligible for the drawing. So thank you guys so much for listening this week. We had some good shows. I hope you guys enjoyed yourselves. I know I enjoy doing this every week. Please pass this along. Share it to friends. Share it to family. Anybody who you know is a Colts fan. Follow me on Twitter at @MDainley_NFL. You guys can always email me at StampedeMailbag@gmail.com. And you can use the call-in line at 574-516-2881. Those will go up on the show when you guys call in. Hope you all have a great week. Enjoy the game on Saturday, and we'll talk to you next week right here on the Colts Cast.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.